Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the Bible. Thank you that we can open the Bible tonight and we can study about what's going to happen in the future. I thank you, Lord, that you know the future just as well as you know the past. Lord, everything that you prophesy in the Bible will come true exactly as you say it will come true. And we thank you for that. And Heavenly Father, as we come tonight, we pray in the name of Jesus that you would give us rich insights into the life and the character and the person of the Antichrist. Jesus told us to be on the alert and to be watching for his coming, and I think this is an important step in doing that. So, Lord, show us what we need to know tonight. Help us to be ready when Jesus comes. In Christ's name, amen. Now, I want to start out tonight, and I want to play a little excerpt from David Jeremiah about the Antichrist.
Have you ever stopped for a moment and thought, what if everything I see happening around me, all the chaos, all the uncertainty, is actually part of something much bigger? What if we're living in the very days that the Bible warned us about? It's a question that's been stirring in my heart lately, and I believe it's a question worth answering. You see, for years, we've been hearing whispers, seeing the headlines, feeling the tension in the air, but there's something even deeper happening, something many of us might be missing. The Antichrist is not just a figure from some distant future, but someone who is walking this earth right now. Now, I'm not here to scare you. I'm not trying to sensationalize things, but I truly believe it's time to wake up to the reality unfolding before us. This isn't about wild theories or unsubstantiated fears. It's about seeing the signs in our world that align with prophecies written thousands of years ago. And here's the most shocking part. This system that will one day give one man control over every aspect of life, from what we buy and sell to how we live and breathe, is being built right in front of us. And it's happening faster than we realize. So I ask you, do you feel it too? The shift in the atmosphere? The way everything seems to be pointing to one inevitable conclusion? Today, I'm going to walk you through five unmistakable signs from the Bible that tell us exactly who and what to look for. But before we dive into those signs, I want to share with you something that's been heavy on my heart. There's a reason why we can't afford to wait any longer. There's a reason why this message right here, right now, matters more than it ever has before. We're not just watching a movie unfold, we're living it. And the time to act is now. So stay with me as we look at what the Bible really says about the coming of the Antichrist and how we can make sure we're not just waiting, but preparing. We are living in a time when the line between the natural world and the supernatural seems to be growing thinner by the day. Every day we wake up, we hear more news about turmoil, unrest, and things that seem to be spiraling out of control. But what if I told you that all of these things are not just random events? What if they are actually the very things the Bible warned us about thousands of years ago? The truth is, the Antichrist is already here. I know that sounds bold, even shocking, but it's not about fear or sensationalism. It's about understanding the reality of what is happening around us. The Bible speaks of a man who will rise to power, a figure who will have unprecedented authority over the entire world, and I don't believe we are still waiting for him to appear in some far-off future. I believe he's already walking among us. The world is setting the stage for this man, and he won't come in the way we expect. He won't come as the villain we imagine. He will come with charm, with appeal, with promises of peace. And in that moment of desperation, when the world has nothing left to hope for, people will be ready to follow him. But here's the kicker. It's not just about one man. It's about the system that will give him power. This system, the infrastructure that will allow one person to control all buying and selling on earth, is being built right now. It's not in some far-off secret lab. It's happening in plain sight. Think about it for a moment. We're seeing more and more of our lives being controlled by technology every day. Our finances, our social media, even the way we move through the world, everything is being monitored, tracked, and controlled. And this is just the beginning. I'm not here to scare you, but to wake you up, because this is what the Bible warned us about. A world that will be controlled by a single system, a system that will track every person, every action, every decision. And the only way to participate in that system will be to accept the mark of the beast. This isn't some science fiction story. It's happening right now. And what we need to understand is that it's not just about the man. It's about what he represents. It's about the coming of a system so vast, so powerful, that it will make every individual feel like they have no choice but to follow. But here's the good news. God gave us a window of clarity. We have the scriptures, we have the prophecies, and we have the Holy Spirit to guide us through this time. And though this prophecy is unfolding right before our eyes, we don't have to walk in fear. Instead, we can stand firm in our faith, anchored in the truth that Jesus has already overcome. We are not in this alone. And though the Antichrist and his system may seem overwhelming, we have a Savior who is greater than anything the enemy can throw at us.
Amen. Amen. That's true, isn't it? Hey, listen. The Bible says that in the future, the Antichrist is going to create a one-world government, a one-world economy, and a one-world religion. That process is taking place before our very eyes. Now, he talked about the system. And that system that is being built before our very eyes and gaining more traction every day is AI. I'm telling you, folks, it's real. Now, I got to thinking about what Jesus said in Matthew 24, where he said we need to be on the alert. I think part of what we're doing tonight is creating a sense of alertness that the timing of Jesus' coming is not eons away. I believe that Jesus could come at any moment. Now listen to me very carefully. Satan does not know everything. He's not omniscient. Too many people get the idea that Satan is like God, that he knows everything, that he has all power, that somehow there's this great battle taking place between spiritual forces of darkness and light, and we don't know who's going to win. We know who's going to win. We know the end of the story. And you have to work from the end of the story backwards, okay? And you got to think about that. Look, I don't know when Jesus is coming. I can't say for sure, like Dr. Jeremiah did, that the Antichrist walking the earth right now, but I would not doubt it at all, okay? Remember this. Satan, since he does not know when Jesus is coming, he's had to have a man in the queue ready to step into the role of Antichrist because he doesn't know when Jesus is coming. Now, in the past, back in the days of Paul, they thought Nero was Antichrist. And you go back and you study biblical history and you see that many of the Puritans thought that the Pope was the Antichrist. Spurgeon thought the Pope was the Antichrist. And you go on and on and on. I remember the day when people thought Kissinger was Antichrist. You remember that? Kissinger was Antichrist. Well, he wasn't. Now, let me say this to you. I believe that the coming of Christ is very, very near. I can't predict a date. But I do know that we're called by Jesus to be on the alert and to be ready when he comes. Now, we're in Daniel chapter 11. And Last week, we studied about Antiochus Epiphanes. We had a shot at it before, and it was a miserable mess. And I came back, and I clarified it last week. And hopefully, it helped you. And I know it helped me. It helped me a lot. And so, Antiochus Epiphanes was like a preview of the Antichrist, okay? Antiochus Epiphanes was not the Antichrist. Was not. But he had a lot of the characteristics of the Antichrist, okay? Now, there were some differences between Antiochus Epiphanes and the Antichrist. For instance, Antiochus Epiphanes worshiped the god Zeus. Antiochus Epiphanes is not going to worship any god except himself, okay? So there are differences. Now, tonight, we're going to do part one, because I don't think I can cover it all in one whack. So we're going to do part one. I'm going to try to stay about 15,000 feet and not get down too far down into the weeds. And hopefully, it'll help you understand. You got notes. You can take notes on the side. So in verses 1 through 35, of chapter 11, they were prophecy to Daniel, but history to us. Verses 1 through 35 are historical things that have happened. But for Daniel, they were things out in the future, okay? The verses contain over 100 specific predictions that have already been fulfilled, all right? They mostly describe war and intrigue in the Greek Empire following the death of Alexander the Great. When you come to verses 21 to 35, we look at the anti-Semitic actions of Antiochus the Fourth, Epiphanes, and his atrocities against the Jews were also delineated in Daniel chapter 8. Pritchard said this. He said, beginning in verse 36, we come to a section that was prophecy to Daniel, now look, and is still prophecy to us today. 36 to 45 was prophecy to Daniel's out in the front, it's in the future, but it's also out in the future for us. It has not happened yet. There are no boxes to check yet, okay? The last 10 verses of Daniel 11 describe events that have no parallel in world history. It's not happened yet. Since the early days of the Christian church, most expositors, going all the way back to Chrysostom, have seen in these verses a description of the final end-time ruler known as the Antichrist. So who is this Antichrist? Who is he? Well, David Jeremiah made this observation. He said there are over 100 passages of Scripture that describe the Antichrist, either directly or indirectly. And yet the word Antichrist itself, the word Antichrist is only mentioned four times in the Scripture, just four times. Take your Bible, look at 1 John chapter 2, verse 18. 1 John chapter 2, verse 18, and keep your finger there in 1 John. Look at verse 18. Children, it is the last hour, and just as you heard that Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have appeared, for this we know it is the last hour. So he said there, the spirit of Antichrist is everywhere, and it's here today. The spirit of Antichrist is at work in this world today in a powerful way. And look at verse 22. 22, the same chapter, 1 John chapter 2. Who is the liar but the one who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, the one who denies the Father and the Son. Remember, I told you that in every generation, it's like Satan had to have somebody ready to step into the role of Antichrist, okay? And everybody that was in the role, in the queue to be an Antichrist, would reject the notion that God is real. God the Father and God the Son are real. Now look at chapter 4, verse 3 of 1 John. Every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, of which you have heard that it is coming, and now it is already in the world. That was written 2,000 years ago, basically. He said it's already in the world. And it's everywhere. And it's like a tidal wave. It's just growing and growing and growing, pointing to the day when the Lord Jesus is coming. Look at 2 John 7. 2 John 7. For many deceivers have gone out into the world, those who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ is coming in the flesh. This is the deceiver and the Antichrist. So those are the four times that the actual word Antichrist is used in the Bible. Now, there are many allusions to Antichrist that we're going to look at tonight. And look at the word Antichrist just a minute. Anti means it's a person who is against Christ, okay? It means, anti means instead of, and both the meanings here will apply to this coming world leader. He will overtly oppose Christ and at the same time pass himself off as Christ. Remember, Jesus said that he will present him. He said there's going to be false Christ. Remember that in Matthew 24? False Christ. And many people will be deceived by these false Christs and this spirit of Antichrist that's going to be prevalent in the world at the very last of the last days. Now, I can't identify the Antichrist right now. I can't. But trust me, we will be able to at some point in the future. He will be identifiable, okay? I'll tell you how we will know. He will make his appearance in the world in the 7 years of tribulation. That's when he's going to come to the forefront. Now, obviously, let me say this. The Antichrist is not a manifestation of a demon. The Antichrist is a man. He's a human being that is possessed by the devil. Okay? Let me make that very, very clear. Now, when he shows up, he'll begin to manifest some of these characteristics that we're going to look at tonight. And I want you to really zero in on what we're doing tonight, because I think it's so important. Now remember, the Bible said, Jesus said, there's coming a 7 year of tribulation, and the last 3.5 years of that tribulation is called the Great Tribulation, or the time of Jacob's trouble. If you think anti-Semitism is really bad today, you haven't seen anything yet. In fact, John MacArthur says that when Antichrist in the Great Tribulation, the last 3.5 years of the tribulation, John MacArthur said that 2 out of every 3 Jews will be killed. 2 out of every 3 Jews will be killed. Just let that sink in for just a moment. Have you noticed how the world hates the Jewish people? I mean... sometimes I scratch my head at even people who claim to be Christians who exhibit a hatred and a disdain for the Jewish people. Do we not realize that our Savior was a Jew? Jesus was a Jew. He was a Jew who loved us so much that he sacrificed himself on the cross of Calvary so that we could be saved and our sins could be forgiven once and for all. Do we not realize that most of the writers of the Bible were Jews? Who were Jews? So, I think it's very important that we don't buy into this spirit of Antichrist that has already begun to manifest himself in the world today. Now, there's a gap of undetermined time between verses 35 and 36. Now, remember, verse 35 is about Antiochus Epiphanes back during the Greek Empire, okay? Now, when you come to verse 36, it's an unknown period of time because the Antichrist has not manifested himself yet. So there's a huge gap in time between verse 35 and verse 36. Now remember, last week we talked about the repetition of the two words appointed times. Look at verse 27. As for both kings, remember we're talking about Antiochus Epiphanes here. As for both kings, their hearts will be intent on evil, and they will speak lies to each other at the same table, but it will not succeed, for the end is still to come at the appointed time. And then look at verse 29. At the appointed time, he will return and come into the south, but this last time it will not turn out the way it did before. So, the appointed time is a key for us in understanding that it's a reference to Antiochus Epiphanes back during the Greek Empire, before the Roman Empire really came to full-fledged power. All right, now when you come to verse 36, then I want you to notice verse 40. Look at verse 40. At the end time. That's a time stamp. It's a time stamp for us to understand what the Holy Spirit was inspiring Daniel to write about. He's writing about end time events, okay? Not the historical times of Antiochus Epiphanes, all right? And then you go over, you see the same thing in chapter 12. Look at chapter 12. Let me find it. Well, it's there in chapter 12 somewhere. It talks about the end time against the same time stamp. Now, let's look at verses 36 and 37 just a moment. Then the king, now that king is not referring to Antiochus Epiphanes. That king is referring to the Antichrist, okay? Then the king will do as he pleases. And he will exalt and magnify himself above every god and will speak monstrous things against the God of gods, and he will prosper until the indignation is finished, for that which is decreed will be done. Now understand this. When the Antichrist comes on the scene, in the first part of tribulation, he will make a peace deal with Israel. What is Israel looking for today? More than anything, they're looking for peace. They're looking for protection from their enemies who cry out from the river to the sea all the time, right? We hear it on the streets of America, from the river to the sea. Well, I want you to understand that Israel is looking for peace, and the Antichrist is going to present himself at a time when the world is in absolute turmoil. And he'll have some answers for the world's troubles that will get the attention of the entire world. And it will get the attention of the Jewish people. And he will make a covenant with the Jewish people, okay? A covenant of peace. And then at the 3.5-year mark, 3.5-year mark, He will break that covenant, and he will unleash his fury upon the Jewish people and upon the world. So he's not going to present himself at the beginning as a diabolical, devil-like figure. He's going to present himself as the answer to all your problems. A man of charisma, a man of wisdom, a man who has answers instead of questions, a man who is appealing to the entire world, okay? And he's going to gain a tremendous following, okay? That is until he reveals his true colors at the 3.5-year mark. Now look at this. He will prosper until the indignation is finished. Now what does that mean, the indignation? That's talking about the tribulation period. That's talking about the 7 years of tribulation. I want you to understand that Jesus has the Antichrist on a leash. He's on a leash. He's not free to run and do everything he wants to do. He can only do what the Lord allows him to do. Now, the Lord allows the Jewish people to suffer. We saw this last week. He allows the Jewish people to suffer so that they will be purified. He's purifying the Jewish people. He's getting the people ready for his coming. Now, the indignation, the finishing of the indignation is a time when the Battle of Armageddon, when the armies of the Antichrist meet the armies of the East in Megiddo, and they battle it out, and Jesus comes and he destroys the Antichrist and those who are following him. Okay? Now, look at this. Verse 37, he will show no regard for the gods of his fathers. The heritage that you and I value, the Antichrist will have no value placed upon the heritage of the religion that's been passed down by his forefathers. Okay? Or for the desire of women. Now, that's an interesting little phrase, okay? He has no regard for the desire of women. Now, some people think that he will be a homosexual. I'm not sure that's right. Could be. I'm not sure about that. But some people believe that, remember, it's a Jewish context here. Everything revolves around Jerusalem and Israel and the Jewish people. And so Jewish young ladies, young virgin Jewish ladies grew up, and I'm sure Mary had this same desire. They wanted to give birth to the Messiah. They had studied prophecy. They knew that the Messiah would come. They had read Isaiah 7:14, and they knew that it could be them, and they longed to give birth to the Messiah. And some scholars think that that's what he's referred to. And basically what this, when he says he has no regard for the desire of women, it's that he has no regard for Messiah, the Messiah, at all. And some people think that he's referring to that he's not a family man. That family is absolutely means nothing to him, okay? In fact, in the last days, the Bible said, Jesus prophesied, the Bible prophesies that husbands will turn on their wives and wives will turn on their husbands and children will turn on their parents and parents will turn on their children. And they will be killed. They'll be persecuted and martyred. Now, whatever that means, it ain't good. Okay, let me just say it like that. It's not good. Okay, no regard for the religion of his forefathers and no regard the desire of women. Nor will he show regard for any other god. No regard for any other god. Look at this. It says this twice. It says it in verse 36. It says it in verse 37. For he will magnify himself above them all. Now, the Antichrist will be an egomaniac. He will be the narcissist of all narcissists. He's going to magnify himself. He's going to, at the 3.5 year mark in the temple in Jerusalem, he's going to present himself as God. And he's going to demand that all the world worship him. Okay? Now, take your Bible, look at Matthew 24 just a minute. Matthew 24. Let's begin with verse 8. Well, verse 9. Then they will deliver you to tribulation, will kill you, and you will be hated by all nations because of my name. At that time, many will fall away and will betray one another and hate one another. Many false prophets will arise and will mislead many because lawlessness is increased. Most people's love will grow cold. Then he goes on in verse 15, he talks about the abomination of desolation. That's what I want you to see. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation, which was spoken of through who? Daniel the prophet. Can I just be honest with you? You really can't get a grip on prophecy if you don't study Daniel. You can't do it. It's the primer that leads you into an ongoing deepening understanding of prophecy. So, therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation, which was spoken of through Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, let the reader understand. Now, how could the reader understand in the New Testament days? Because they had the book of Daniel. They could go back and they could read about the abomination of desolation that Daniel wrote about in his prophecy. Now, what is that abomination of desolation? The Bible says that the false prophet, take your Bible, look at Revelation 13 just a minute. Revelation 13. Look at verse 1. And the dragon, that's the devil, do you realize that Satan is creating an unholy trinity? We got a holy trinity, and Satan is creating an unholy trinity. The dragon, the devil himself, is like God the Father. And then the Bible said, then I saw a beast coming up out of the sea. That's the Antichrist. That's the Antichrist. And notice he's coming up where? Out of the sea. And the sea in the first century represented the Gentile nations. Okay? That's why most scholars believe, most prophecy experts believe, that the Antichrist will be a Gentile. Now, some believe he could be a Jew living in a Gentile land. Now, I don't know which it will be, but I do believe that he's going to come out of the Gentile world. Because I tell you why. Because if you go back to, just hold your place right there at Revelation 13. Go back to Daniel 7. Daniel 7. Look at verse 7. After this, I kept looking at the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast. Now, the first beast represents Babylon, the eagle, verse 4. The second beast, a bear, represents the Medo-Persian Empire. The third beast, a leopard, represents the Greek Empire. And then you come to verse 7, and it's referring to the Roman Empire. And I kept looking in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrifying and extremely strong, and it had large teeth, large iron teeth. It devoured and crushed and trampled down the remainder with its feet, and it was different from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. Now look at this. While I was contemplating the horns, behold, another horn, a little one, came up among them, and three of the first horns were pulled out by the roots before it, and behold, this horn possessed eyes like the eyes of a man and a mouth uttering great boasts. Now, that's the Antichrist. That's Antichrist, and he's coming out of the revived Roman Empire. Remember, we don't have time to do this, but if we had time, we would go back and we would look at Daniel chapter 2. You remember the great vision that Nebuchadnezzar had, and he wanted Daniel to interpret it for him, the great statue, the golden statue, and he got down to the feet of iron mixed with clay, and the toes were brittle. Iron and clay do not mix, right? And in the vision, in the interpretation that Daniel had, he said that these toes are brittle. And it's a picture of a revived Roman Empire. The stone came. Remember the stone? By the way, the Roman Empire had an eastern part and a western part. And where did the stone came? Where did it come from? And where did it hit when it hit the great statue and destroyed the statue? It hit the legs and the feet, right? The revived Roman Empire. So I do believe that the Antichrist will come out of the revived Roman Empire. Now look at this. Go back to Revelation 13 just a minute. Now, in verse 2, and the beast which I saw was like a leopard, and his feet were like those of a bear, and his mouth like the mouth of a lion. So he had characteristics of all these different empires, see? And the dragon gave him his power and his throne and great authority. So where does Antichrist, remember, he's a man, but who gives him his power and his ability? Satan. Satan empowers him to do what he does as the Antichrist. Notice this. And the dragon gave him his power and his throne and great authority. I saw one of his heads as if it had been slain, and his fatal wound was healed, and the whole earth was amazed and followed after the beast. So evidently, the Antichrist is going to have some kind of wound or something, and it will appear to die and have a pseudo resurrection. Well, why is that? Because he's emulating and imitating Christ. You see, he's the second person of the unholy Trinity. He's the Antichrist. Now, notice this. The whole world, the Bible says, will worship. The whole earth was amazed and followed after the beast. Now look at verse 4. They worship the dragon, Satan, because he gave his authority to the beast. Who's the beast? Who's the beast? The Antichrist, okay? And they worship the beast. They worshiped Antichrist, saying, who is like the beast? Who is able to wage war with him? There was given him a mouth, speaking arrogant words and blasphemies. And to act for 42 months was given to him. 42 months is 3.5 years. 3.5 years. I'm telling you, Jesus has the Antichrist on a leash. He can only do what Jesus will allow him to do. Well, I could go on, and I'd love for us to read the whole chapter 13, but I can't. But hey, look at verse 11 just a minute. Then I saw another beast coming up out of the earth. Now, where did the first beast come from? The sea, representing the Gentile nation. And the second beast came out of the earth. He had two horns like a lamb, and he spoke as a dragon. He exercised the authority of the first beast in his presence, and he makes the earth, look at this, he makes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast, the Antichrist, whose fatal wound was healed. Now, who is this second beast that came up out of the earth? Well, it's the false prophet. It's the false prophet who points people. Now, who does the false prophet emulate? The Holy Spirit. Who points us to Jesus? The Holy Spirit. Who convicts us of sin, righteousness, and judgment? The Holy Spirit. Who draws us to Jesus and helps us to understand who he is and what he has offered for us? The Holy Spirit. And the false prophet will do for the Antichrist exactly what the Holy Spirit does for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, go back to Daniel chapter 11. Go back to Daniel chapter 11. And look now. We're looking at different names and different pictures of the Antichrist. In Daniel chapter 7, verse 8, he's called the little horn. We saw that a minute ago. In Daniel chapter 9, verse 26, he's called the prince who is to come. And then in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3, take your Bible, look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And the second chapter of 2 Thessalonians is all about the Antichrist. Revelation 13 is mostly about the Antichrist, the unholy Trinity. Now look beginning with verse 1 of chapter 2 of 2 Thessalonians. Now we request you, brethren, with regard to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, that you not be quickly shaken from your composure or be disturbed either by a spirit or a message or a letter as if from us to the effect that the day of the Lord has come. See, the Thessalonians, they got so into prophecy that they thought that Jesus was coming, and they quit their jobs and they put on white robes and they went up on mountain waiting for Jesus to come. And Paul had to correct them and rebuke them and tell them, if somebody doesn't work, they don't eat. Don't feed people who quit working looking for Jesus to come. That's basically what Paul said. And so he says here, that you not be quickly shaken from your composure or be disturbed either by a spirit or a message or a letter as if from us to the effect that the day of the Lord has come. You know, the interesting thing about this AI stuff, have you noticed that AI stuff looks real? I mean, it looks real. And I'm going to tell you something, and I believe this with all my heart. If we don't know our Bibles and we don't have a spirit of discernment, we're going to be set up to fall for all kinds of mess. I'm telling you. So if ever you studied your Bible, if ever you prayed for anything, you pray that the Holy Spirit will help you to understand the Word of God and give you a spirit of discernment so you can tell what's true and what's false, okay? That's why in this church we say the Word of God is our final source for faith and practice. Listen, you don't need to come to me and ask me about something. You look at the Word of God. Look at the Word of God. If some yahoo with slick back hair gets on TV and he preaches some garbage, take your Bible and find out if what he's saying is true or not. I tell you, it's a great protection for you. It's a great protection for your family. Now look at verse 3 of chapter 2 of 2 Thessalonians. Let no one in any way deceive you, for it will not come unless the apostasy comes first. There's going to be a falling away of believers. There's going to be a falling away of people in churches. That's a scary thing, isn't it? Don't be in that crowd, okay? And the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction. So right here in chapter 2, verse 3 of 2 Thessalonians, the Antichrist is called the man of lawlessness. Look at the lawlessness in our nation today. Where do you think that's coming from? It's the spirit of Antichrist. And then he's called the son of destruction. The son of destruction. So we're adding to the references to Antichrist, not using the name Antichrist, but these other references to him, son of destruction and man of lawlessness, who opposes and exalts himself above every so-called God or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, displaying himself as God. That is the abomination of desolation. When he presents himself in the Jewish temple and he claims to be God and he demands to be worshipped. Now, what did Antiochus Epiphanes do? You remember? Antiochus Epiphanes followed the same pattern, didn't he? Except he put up a statue of Zeus and he sacrificed a sow on the altar in the temple. And it took the Jews a long time to cleanse the temple, and that's why the Jews celebrate Hanukkah today. All right, look at verse 7. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. That was written 2,000 years ago, ladies and gentlemen, and it has not slowed down. It is peaking right now. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. Look at verse 8. Then that lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will slay with the breath of his mouth and bring to an end by the appearance of his coming. I want you to understand that when the Lord Jesus comes, his second coming, he will destroy the Antichrist. He will take the Antichrist, the false prophet, and the dragon himself, and throw them into the lake of fire, okay? And bound them in the lake of fire. Now, in Revelation 13, 1, he's referred to as a beast coming out of the sea. Now, let me give you some characteristics of the Antichrist. I've got them listed for you here. This coming world ruler will be charismatic, cunning, and cruel. He's not going to be when he presents himself to the world, he's not going to present himself with two horns, with a pitchfork, and with a tail. He's not going to do that. He's going to be one of the sharpest guys imaginable. And he's going to be cunning, charismatic, and he's going to have the answers to the world's problems. He's going to have the answers for the Jewish people. He will be an anarchist. The Bible says he will do as he pleases. Well, there's a lot of anarchists in the world today, isn't there? He will exercise political power given to him by 10 kings. Take your Bible, look at Revelation chapter 17. Revelation chapter 17, verses 12 and 13. The 10 horns which you saw are 10 kings in the revived Roman Empire, who have not yet received a kingdom, but they receive authority as kings with the beast for 1 hour. These have one purpose, And they give their power and authority to the beast. Who's the beast? The Antichrist. Okay? Now, he will exert power in the religious realm. Look at Daniel 7:25 just a minute. Daniel 7:25. He will speak out against the Most High and wear down the saints of the Highest One. And he will intend to make alterations in times and in law. The Antichrist is going to try to change the moral law of God. Well, we see that happening today. Let me tell you, when our nation redefined marriage, that's exactly what the spirit of Antichrist is going to do in the last days. He's going to make some moral changes. He will speak out against the Most High, wear down the saints of the Highest One. He will intend to make alteration in times and law, and they will be given into his hand for a time, times, and half a time, 3.5 years. But the court will sit for judgment. Tell you, he's got him on a leash. And his dominion will be taken away and annihilated and destroyed forever. Then the sovereignty, the dominion, the greatness of all the kingdoms under the whole heaven will be given to the people of the saints of the Highest One. His kingdom will be an everlasting kingdom, and all the dominions will serve and obey him. That's Jesus. We're on the winning side, ladies and gentlemen. The world would be persuaded to worship him by the miracles the false prophet will perform in his name. And that's Revelation 13, 11, 15. Read that when you get home. The Antichrist will be the final ruler in the Roman world, the final one, last one. The little horn of the fourth beast. Therefore, he must be a Gentile. He will demand that the whole world worship him alone. Remember, the Antichrist will be... Dr. Jeremiah talked about how the whole world system is a system of control. Let me tell you, with AI... If you take a trip to Kroger, somebody's going to know it. They're going to know it. What you watch on your TV, they're going to know it. They're going to know everything about you. And so if they're going to know everything about us, let's make sure that we let them know that we're followers of the Most High God. Amen? All right. So he's going to demand the whole... Remember, he's not going to... You cannot buy any food, you cannot buy gas, you cannot do anything unless you have what? The mark of the beast. If you get the mark of the beast, you're done for. It's going to be a tough time, ladies and gentlemen. He will succeed in spreading his influence around the world, both politically and religiously. We're going to have to pick up with verses 38 and 39 in part two and finish this chapter next week. I did put a table for you on the last page. Comparing the Antichrist and Jesus. Just look at that. Now, if you study that, which side are you going with? I know where I'm going. I'm going with Jesus. Amen? Oh, man, I'm so glad that the Bible talks about the book of life. You know who has the book of life? Not the Antichrist. Jesus got the book of life. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that the Antichrist can't get his filthy little slimy fingers on the book of life? Amen? All right. Now, next week, we will finish chapter 11. And next week, I want to share some things, some truths that I want you to really bear down on as we move forward in time. All right? So let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for our time. Lord, help us to understand biblical prophecy. Help us to understand how we can be alert when Jesus comes. Help us to understand this figure, the Antichrist. Lord, we're not looking for the coming of Antichrist. We're looking for the coming of the Blessed One, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray that every day that we wake up, that we'll look for Jesus to come that day, because Jesus said he's going to come at a time we don't expect. So, Lord, help us to be ready. Help us to serve you with all of our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. God bless you.